You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's October 3rd, 2023. I'm Trey Cryer. That's Mark Agee. How you doing, Mark?
Oh, just laughing at the demise of we're talking about a couple circuses today, the Trump's trial in New York, and which is ongoing, and Kevin McCarthy. It's going to take a while to explain, but we're going to be doing an obituary for his political career. But first, let's do an obituary for Dianne Feinstein, who died late last week. Mm-hmm. A long national nightmare of her staffers wheeling her around Capitol Hill doing elder abuse. They didn't have to update their LinkedIns, look for new jobs, is finally over. She was in Congress and the Senate for like 30 some years, and before that, and like local politics in San Francisco. So like, it's a long, complex life, public life. And the hagiographies I'm seeing written about, like, I've seen more honest, like, eulogies given by loved ones at a funeral surrounded by other loved ones. And I'm not saying that, like, everything she did was bad, but you just want to walk through, like, a little bit of her legacy real quick, okay?
Yeah.
So she became mayor in San Francisco after Harvey Milk was assassinated,
mm-hmm.
All right? She's the one who found his body, and that led to her, like, becoming, like, a passionate advocate for gun control. Right. She had personal experience with gun death. But also, I don't think people realize she was Harvey Milk's political opponent because she was kind of a conservative Democrat for San Francisco at that time. Harvey Milk was happened to be gay. Right. He's the first.
Yeah. Right.
If you guys are familiar with that. So like when she became mayor, like she vetoed same sex benefits for like domestic partner benefits for city employees. This is in the middle of the AIDS crisis. And I imagine the health insurance could have come in handy for a lot of people. In the Senate, like when she was mayor, she repeatedly raised the Confederate flag over City Hall for reasons I don't know, and then had a guy
in San Francisco.
Yes, because wow. she was trying to pivot to the center. She was trying to like be like get a national profile, and this is what you do. Like Gavin Newsom's doing it now. It's like just typical centrist dem bullshit. But like then you know, it, like she one of her biggest career accomplishments is she pushed for like revealing CIA torture under the Bush administration. That's good. But also she had a personal beef with the CIA because they had hacked her emails. So it's not clear how much of that was the right thing. It was definitely the right thing to do, but how much of the motivation was the right thing versus like, you know, getting revenge on people that had personally fucked with her. She also was like a huge supporter of the NSA. So she wasn't against people reading our emails, just her emails. So like,
yeah,
I just like these people are in public service. They work for us.
Right.
You don't have to suck up to them. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And also just like the general political culture of this country, like you serve in politics in this country. If you want to get into politics in the first place at that level, the type of person that generally attracts for the most part, and then that person spends 30 years in politics in this country and the way it's all shifted and stuff like that, like mm-hmm. it's going to be pretty spotty at the end of the day. Like the track record, I feel like that's kind of just the nature of the game, you know, and a lot of these people are not, you know, they're not angels, you know what I mean? But she obviously she had a good run. And
they don't have to be. I don't expect anybody who came of political age and when Ronald Reagan was governor of California to be some flaming hippie. But as far as like our general political environment, like California is a very safe seat for a Democrat. You could elect like an honest to God progressive, as opposed to Dianne Feinstein, who like voted more conservatively than John Tester, who's a Democrat from Montana. You know, so they just like they could have always just replaced her with somebody who was more comfortable like speaking for progressive causes and pulling the whole Senate to the left, right, to help more people. But like, Newsom appointed a woman by the name of Alphonza Butler to replace her. She's the first black lesbian in the Senate. He also bumblefucked that because it turns out she doesn't live in California anymore. She's a former political advisor for Kamala Harris, who has been living in Maryland for the past few years, working for Emily's List. I haven't heard anything bad about her. She seems very nice. And like Newsom had made this promise to appoint a black woman, which well and good, because California probably has, I don't know, like 3 million black women, and every single one of them is probably smarter than Tommy Tuberville.
Low bar, but yeah.
Yeah, but like he also did the thing where he was trying to appoint someone to only serve out the rest of the term. So it was like, I'm going to appoint a black woman, but immediately make her a token because she's going to be replaced in a year and a half when there's the next election. People are already running in the primary. Right.
She could run, right? Like, I mean, she could.
Yeah, he changed his mind.
The job.
He changed his mind to not extract that promise. Maybe it's a handshake deal, which were to not interfere in the primary that's already ongoing. That maybe she just said she didn't even want to run for the full term. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. But like, anyway, we got maybe an honest to God left winger representing California. So that's the good. But I also want to mention another development with besides Dianne Feinstein, another dead gangster, Tupac Shakur.
Yeah, what is going on with this? I saw that they made an arrest in the Tupac murder case, and I didn't really read into it or whatever. I was like, well, that's wild. But you were in the group chat, you were saying like this dude has been around the case ever since it happened, and like he's written books about it, and it's like
he's repeatedly confessed to it.
Yeah, right. Right. So what's happening? Why now?
Sometimes following the news closely, you feel like you're being gaslit because people are pretending to discover things you've known for a long time. So even the New York Times, let me read this sentence to you. The Friday arrest of Dwayne Keith Davis in connection with Shakur's killing is a step in solving one of hip hop's greatest tragedies and longest mysteries. It's never been a fucking mystery. It's a scandal. The cops couldn't solve it because they were worried about discovering police chicanery. We'll get to that in a second. Right. But you asked me why now, and the closest thing I could find to an answer is Davis, who he goes by street names Keefe D. I'm just going to call him by his street name because it's the name he chose, and also it's more fun than saying Keith Davis.
Yes, Keefe D.
So Keefe D went on a YouTube show hosted by this like personality named DJ Vlad and confessed to it over again, and I guess cops saw the YouTube video. He was promoting a book that's been out for a while. He wrote called Compton Street Legend that he also confessed to providing the gun used in the shooting. I think I mentioned they served a warrant on this case that turns out to have been Keefe D's house. And one of the things they confiscated was his book, which I looked it up. You can get it for $16 on Amazon or $9.99 for the Kindle. So they could have saved the warrant effort and the gas money and just fucking bought the book. And like, this guy has been so well known as one of the the things we've known since 1997, everybody was in Vegas for the Tyson fight. All right. Tupac and Suge Knight and a couple other guys jumped a bunch of rivals. Suge Knight was blood affiliated, so was Tupac by association. Keefe D and his nephew Orlando Baby Lane Anderson were Crips. Baby Lane and some of his boys had jumped in front of Tupac's inside of Death Row's offices and stolen a chain from him a few weeks earlier. So the Tupac beating him up was retaliation for that.
Yeah.
They apparently, the story's always been, just went and got a gun and came back and found Tupac and shot him dead. All right. Very straightforward. So straightforward. Every true crime thing, like USA Network made a true crime series a few years back with Josh Duhamel in it, where they showed these guys doing the killing. You cannot libel a living person. So they convinced USA's lawyers this case was pretty buttoned up. Did the cops not watch the USA show? Also, Keefe D's had a killed Tupac section on his Wikipedia for like Wikipedia went up.
Okay, but so I get that he went on went on YouTube and but like I don't know, just the right or wrong cop saw that and they were like, okay, enough's enough. Like I still what's their motivation? They got some like scandal brewing or something, they're looking for like good PR or something like that. Like, hey, let's do a good thing and take the focus off of something else or
it's been almost 30 years, so most of the cops who would have been involved in investigating at the time or been wrapped up in the Suge Knight's orbit or whatever have pensions, they're gone. That'd be my guess for why they're willing to solve it now. You got to remember how crazy L.A. was in the 90s, all right? Like, I mean, people, you tie all these things together, like the O.J. trial.
Rodney King, O.J.
Rodney King, yeah, O.J.
Furman, all that stuff.
All the beatings and stuff. But, like, no one trusted cops. And it wasn't just because they were racist, because there were blood, literally Bloods and Crips in the LAPD, right? Like, not like they were taking payoffs, they were doing that too. But I mean, they were jumped in gang members who then joined the police force because it's a sweet gig if you like cracking heads, right? And so a bunch of like LAPD, off-duty LAPD were working security for Death Row Records. They were hanging out there all the time. You would think of how a trial would go with all these cops in the orbit of these people who are both murderers and murder victims, all right? It just would not look good. Like, let me read this from this story. This is a story from 1997 after Biggie was killed. The cops seized a car they thought was used in the drive-by. And remember, pretending that nobody knows who killed Biggie is always also crazy, too, because he was killed in front of 600 people at a party, right? And in L.A. traffic, a guy drove by and still was able to get away. So they impounded this car. They found in the garage of, wait for it, Keefe D. All right? You're right.
The same guy?
Yes. So the cops zeroed in on this guy as like, I don't know, the Forrest Gump of dead rappers. Nothing ever came of this. But let me read from this quote from the same story about the found a car in Keefe D's garage. Several law enforcement agents may have witnessed the slaying, including one off-duty Inglewood police officer working security for the rap star's entourage. The officer chased the assailant's vehicle after the shooting and helped escort members of the entourage to the hospital, but may have fled the scene without reporting his observations about the shooting to investigators. So, like, this all smells very weird. Why would an off-duty cop who's working, like, who's not doing anything wrong, working off-duty security at a high-profile fancy party, flee the scene of a murder? You know what I'm saying? And then, like, enter this L.A. cop by the name of Russell Poole, who's a fascinating guy. He worked on the Biggie Task Force. Talk about how shady everything around this looks. He was called in after he retired. He left the department to write books about how he became sort of a conspiracy theorist. He thought the police were involved in the murder of Biggie because he ran into nothing but like bureaucratic, like people throwing up roadblocks to try to, if he felt like people were trying to stop the case from being solved. He went in to talk about reopening as a cold case and died suddenly in the police station. I don't think anything weird happened there, but if you're a person who thinks that people get up to weird shit, that looks like Epstein-esque, right?
Oh, yeah.
And part of what drove Poole crazy is one of his first big cases, he investigated a shooting where a cop killed another cop, like on purpose. It's not really clear what happened. This guy named Frank Liga killed an officer named Kevin Gaines. That USA series depicted it as a road rage thing gone wrong while they were on duty. Another one knew the other one was a cop. They just... one flashed a gun at the other, another one shot him. I don't know what the truth is. Liga got off. His self-defense claim held up. But after that, he was under investigation again after a pound of cocaine that he had booked into evidence went missing. It turns out another cop had stolen it to get Liga in trouble as revenge for the Gaines murder. So one of the ways in which corruption costs... one reason I complain about police is not because I don't want them to solve crimes. This case could have been solved 30 years ago if they weren't afraid of being embarrassed coming out of the OJ case and the Rodney King beating and shit. But they did not want to find out because they're worried. Because you imagine if you're a good cop, say you're a major or a commander, you know, a chief or whatever, and you want things to go well, and you're seeing all these things happen, and you're like, a cop killed another cop. We're investigating this one guy for two different murders, two different rappers. None of them are connected. The cops apparently believe in a conspiracy theory that Puff Daddy paid that both of them murdered or whatever. And you're like, remember the end of Burn After Reading when J.K. Simmons' character is like, well, what do we learn? I guess you learn not to do it again. Fuck if I know what we did.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Essentially LAPD's response to all this shit going on. Anyway, this is why I want honest policing so they can actually solve cases. Tupac's been now been dead longer than he's been alive, and they finally got arrested around a guy who confessed to it on Wikipedia. So there we go.
So, but just to backtrack a little bit, that same guy, though, Keefe D, also was involved with Biggie's death?
I don't think so.
But he had a car that
they thought was involved, the car used in the drive-by shooting, shooting the kill.
Oh, okay. But it wasn't proved to be the case.
No. Best case scenario is somebody paid a hitman that used to be in the Nation of Islam is the best working theory. I don't know. This is all, it's 30 years ago. It's like, I don't even know what comes of putting Keefe D in prison at this point. He's 60 years old. So whatever. Justice for Tupac, I guess. Yeah.
Papaw called Keefe D is wild. Like, people used to always, predict that one day, you know what I mean? Like in the 90s and the rap game and all this, like, you know, we're going to have Papaws one day bumping nothing but a G thing and stuff like that, or being referred to as Keefe D. So we're getting there. Of course, you know where I'm from. There's Papaws called Cornbread and, Scooter and things like that. So
they were playing Ice Cube as a bump out music for Monday Night Football last night, buddy. It's already happened.
Yeah, well, I remember during the, and I know we need to move on, but like in the Super Bowl when Dre and Snoop and Eminem and them did that whole thing, I saw somebody tweet, it was like, why is that for the Super Bowl every year? They always pick like some, you know, old legendary act, you know what I mean? Like the Stones or Prince or like Red Hot Chili Peppers or something for old people. Why don't they get something for young people? It's like, oh, Dre and Snoop's like, oh, great, finally. It's, oh, shit, no, you know, like,
yeah. Dre's first act, World Class Wrecking Crew. They started DJing in the 70s.
So, yeah. All right. Well, let's get into it. With us, as always, is producer Matt. This is Weekly Skews. I want to remind y'all before we continue of a couple things. We'll try to make it quick. Number one, if you'd like to see me perform live, go to treycrowder.com. Thanks to everybody who came out to the Lexington Opera House on Friday. That was a ton of fun. I'll be in Washington State next week, then Carolinas after that, Boston, Phoenix, Chicago, San Francisco, Lowell, Arkansas, and Nashville the rest of this year. Going to have 2024 dates coming soon. Go to treycrowder.com. Come and see me. Number two, me and Corey's book, Around Here and Over Yonder, is available now. People are digging it. It's very funny. It's a travel guide. It's a laugh riot, some are saying. Some smart people are saying. I don't know if you've heard, but you can get that at treycrowder.com too, or just wherever you get books at. There's also an audiobook version, which we read. Very fun. And then lastly, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. You go to weeklyskews.com/more or go on Patreon and look me up. Either way works. $5 a month gets you access to full-length bonus episodes. We're going to record another one later this week. We do two a month, cover things we don't get to, things that come up in between Skews days, just stuff we want to talk about. It's a lot of fun. You get extra material and support the show in the process. So, yeah. Check it out. Sign up on there. Get some more SKUs in your life. Now, as for the show tonight, we are talking about the first. Well, I guess I don't know if it is the first. One of the first of one of the very many of Trump's big days in court he's going to have coming up over the coming years. This one is a $250 million fraud case in New York. They're aiming to take everything from him and kick him out of the storied city. We'll see how that's going. Then later, of course, Kevin McCarthy, you may have heard, had his face eaten by the Leopards Eating Faces Party, which he previously was one of the chairs of. Shocked Pikachu face, everybody. We'll break down what the hell happened there and what's going to happen in the future. But first, the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic. Tonight's DD, Trump again, for not also being afraid of sharks with electric powers. What? This is better than the whale thing from last week.
Down, and that boat's going down, and I'm on top of a battery. And the water starts flooding in. I'm getting concerned. But then I look 10 yards to my left, and there's a shark over there. So I have a choice of electrocution or shark. You know what I'm going to take? Electrocution. I will take electrocution every single time. Do we agree? I will take
electrocution.
Wouldn't everyone take electrocution? Or be eaten by a shark?
Mark, you don't think you could take a shark? I think you could whoop a shark's ass. They say... You punch them in. Yeah, so you know. Everybody knows. We've all heard that. It's funny that there are things out there like that like it seems like everyone has heard that no one is ever going to need to use for the most part, and that's one of them. It's like punch a shark. Every American knows, every American male at least knows, punch a shark in the nose, you got a chance, you know. Yeah. But
Americans, yeah, by and large are terrible at like risk evaluation. Like we'll worry about, like, we'll carry a gun into a Walmart and know where all the exits are, but not like eat broccoli.
yeah, right. Yes. Okay, so what the hell is, what's he actually talking about here? Does anybody know?
Oh, they've zeroed in the context of the writer strike and the Green New Deal. I mean, sorry, the auto worker strike and the Green New Deal stuff. They've zeroed on the real target, the real problem being electric vehicles, which he's pivoted in his brain talking about how he wouldn't want to ride an electric boat because if it sinks, he's talked about this repeatedly. He's afraid if the boat sinks, you'll get electrocuted, which is not true. So that's what he's talking about.
It's just like, okay, we're talking about, but he made it about boats, but in terms of electric cars, people talk about, they're like, oh, they explode, or but what if they take over and ride off a bridge and all this stuff? And it's like, you have a much greater chance of just getting killed than your regular ass car or truck anytime you're on the road, right? Like, any, like just driving in, like, in traffic, like, they'll drive every day. Like, driving itself isn't dangerous, but you can't drive a battery powered car because zip zap. You know, commie hippie stuff or whatever.
Yeah. So, if you drive into a river, you're going to get the electric chair.
If you drive into a river, you're very likely fucked either way. You know what I mean? That's the other thing too. Like, don't drive into rivers. Don't drive off bridges. I don't care if you got a battery in the car or not. Anyway.
Talk about being bad at risk analysis. One of my wife's big nightmares is like driving into a river and then drowning.
Yeah,
so she got a thing on your keychain that I guess if you press against a car window, it's spring loaded to break the window so you can get out. We live in Los Angeles.
No rivers. Yeah,
no rivers.
The Los Angeles River is this big. It's a puddle driving in the middle of like a big culvert or whatever. It's famous for how tiny it is. In fact,
yeah. If you've seen Terminator 2, the big chase scene with the big rivers through the LA
That's
River.
That's the LA it's River.
A, it's
yeah,
a concrete aqueduct. All right, so. So let's talk about Trump's legal issues for a second, because his trial started yesterday in New York for this civil trial over the fraud case being brought by the New York Attorney General. And it's an absolute fucking circus. The judge already ruled last week for summary judgment on like the big count. Now they're just haggling over what the penalty is going to be, basically. He's been showing up to court, even though he didn't have to, which is which seems weird, unless you know the fact that he's supposed to be doing a 2-day deposition. He skipped 2 days of deposition in his case against his ex-lawyer Michael Cohen. He was just an excuse to get out of doing a deposition.
With all the court, like the former president has so many different, like various, you know, court proceedings going on that he's like using one of them to get out of others. It's like you said,
can't go to your prison if I'm in another prison. Yeah, you think, Trey?
Yeah.
So what this one's about is doing like inflating like numbers related to his property, real estate properties to get like better loans and better terms from banks. Like, for example, his like Trump Tower penthouse is 10,000 square feet, which is pretty big and sounds awesome, but he said it was 30,000 square feet. And that's just a thing you can measure. You can't really lie about. And he was doing this according to all the court documents, testimony from his former employees, because he wanted to get on the Forbes list. He just wanted to be on a list of cool, rich people.
Yeah.
So, like, he lied about all this stuff.
And just the fact that he would lie about, I mean, you know, he lied about anything to make himself sound like he hits harder. Like, I get that he's doing it for an actual result, more money from a bank or whatever, but it's also just perfectly in keeping with his character just to do that anyway, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And he, so it's also really weird stuff. Like, according to tax estimates, Mar-a-Lago is worth $18 million, or was a few years ago, which sounds low to me, but.
Yeah.
It's also like subject to various land use like restrictions, like zoning laws. Like, you couldn't just turn it into a resort, because he's to lower his tax bill. He's done stuff like declare it a private club, not a personal residence. So he's just living at a club that he technically doesn't own or some shit. So I don't know. But anyway, he says it's worth $1 billion, which is not worth a billion, but it's also probably worth more than $18 million. But if you can't build on a property, it just is what it is. It might be $18 million, right? Anyway, he says it's worth $1 billion because, let me quote here from his testimony. He said that he could. It's worth whatever he wants to be worth, because he could, quote, find a buyer from Saudi Arabia to pay any price he suggests, which is not the defense you think it is, buddy.
Right.
He's essentially saying, I can go get a bribe, so of course it's worth $1 billion.
Right.
He also, he posted a sketch of him sitting in court next to Jesus. which is like...
So funny.
Yeah, if you got the picture, it's pretty
wild. Yeah, put it up there, Max.
It doesn't even look like Jesus. It looks like a Dave Mustaine or something from Megadeth.
But which is kind of weird because this actually is a more faithful representation of Trump than these people usually do. Like, I'm assuming this is one of his MAGA lunatics who made this. Obviously, it's like added to the pantheon of, you know, Trump being a fucking savior rock star or whatever that they love to picture him as. But usually in these, he's like shredded, you know what I mean? Or sort of holding an AK-47 or something. That actually kind of looks like him. So then it's funny that they bumbled the Jesus part. But, you know, got to have white Jesus, Mark. You can't have, like, period accurate Jesus. White Jesus
but
must for this piece.
But Jesus died at 33, and that looks like Jesus at 46. So I'm also very confused about it.
Well, he's been aged by what his, his champion is having to go through here. All right.
Yeah.
Dude, Trump's like, so, I'm just like Jesus. And he really thinks that.
Because Trump's involved, it's got to be really clownish and incompetent. So, like, he was complaining about not getting a jury trial and how unfair it was. He's got a bench trial with just a judge involved, but his own lawyer that he, I guess, isn't paying. Didn't turn in the form to get a jury trial or didn't check a box or something. His lawyers have done a real bang up job. If you pull up this image from the courtroom, Matt, if you got this picture of Alina Haba, she's using you can't see it's blocked out because of her thing, but she's using a gaming computer. Like, she brought the computer she uses to play like Fortnite or Skyrim to court.
Well, it's probably a good rig, you know, nice and powerful.
He also, less than 2 days into the trial, he bumblefucked himself into a gag order because he went on Truth Social and attacked the judge's name is Judge Engoron. The judge's clerk, he posted a link to her Instagram and called her Chuck Schumer's girlfriend because I guess somebody scrolled down and found an old pic of her taking a picture with Chuck Schumer. It's New York City politics, man. I'm not sure, like, 50,000 people probably have a picture with Chuck Schumer. But anyway, he's not supposed to talk about the case anymore, so he's, of course, immediately going to violate that. He got McDonald's delivered to court, like 6 bags of McDonald's yesterday. then he went to another fast food joint after court and delivered this amazing rant to the cashier, if you got this video, Matt, like where he's just complaining about how unfair the judge is and how racist the attorney general is to a group of kids who are just trying to get Happy Meals or something.
Right,
the whole thing's fucking bizarre.
He's got like 2 11-year-olds in front of him who seem pretty confused for a good reason whenever Matt gets this brought. But it's also he's going against a judge because he fucked up the jury thing, right? And he's actively antagonizing the judge and their staff on social media and stuff. It's just classic galaxy brain shit. All right, Matt, hit it.
You know, it's a rigged deal.
We love
my financial statements are much lower than the actual net worth.
Donald,
this judge and your fake attorney general of New York, who's driving business out, who's letting murderers run all over the city. They don't do anything to murderers that are running all over the city. The attorney general.
Oh, that kid just sort of checks out right there.
Yeah. All right, go ahead, Matt. So, like, this feels like real Death of Empire kind of shit. I do want to say one of the reasons I want to talk about this is, like, it feels like our institutions are finally standing up for themselves. Like, for one, Joe Biden gave a pretty good speech over the weekend where he talked about the need to save democracy and why democracy is important, which is feels dumb to say out. I need to say out loud, but I guess a lot of people have forgotten because they've only lived under democracy. But he, for the first time, he used Trump's name directly as a threat to democracy. So it seems like he's getting a campaign mode, which is good. Do you remember last week you talked about how Trump threatened Mark Milley's life?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, turns out that was because of a misunderstanding. He threatened the wrong guy's life. What happened was CNN called him up and said they had confirmation on the record from one of his former close advisors that all the stuff he was rumored to have said about not wanting to have disabled veterans in his eye line or say going to visit a cemetery for American troops in France, like he didn't want to go because they were all fucking losers.
They're losers. They gross him out. Yeah. Like he prefers guys that don't get captured, all that shit. Yeah.
So, hates the troops. So they called up Trump and said, we have somebody on the record saying they can confirm you said all this stuff. And he goes, like, he runs through his head, who heard me say all that stuff? He goes, Mark Milley, I'm going to kill him. And then, so it's like a weird confirmation as a denial.
And he said it all. Right.
Yeah. Because it turns out it was John Kelly, his longest serving chief of staff, is, of course, a former Marine general. And so John Kelly just went on the record because he was so offended by Trump threatening Mark Milley's life after it was actually him that confirmed this. And he said, here's him on Trump. He called Trump a person that is nothing but contempt for our democratic institutions, our constitution, and the rule of law. There is nothing more that can be said. God help us. And after reading Kelly's remarks, this retired Army Major General named Paul Eaton, who's a key advocate for veteran voting, a really big dude in those circles, released a video he recorded 2 years ago when he first heard these stories, where he said, who could vote for this traitor Trump? And he urged veterans to vote Democratic because our country's honor depends on it. All right, so like between the court system standing up to Trump, not with the gag order today, Biden actually saying, fuck it, we actually have to make this case explicit, and the military, we talked about before how weirdly Democrats won the military vote this last time. This feels like, okay, maybe people are figuring out how dangerous this means.
Well, they've only continued to like antagonize them further since then. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like we talked about, I don't remember if it was a Patreon episode or a main episode, but like they, and I made a video about it, but like they're always insulting the troops and talking about how queer and woke they are and stuff, and all the shit with Tuberville and everything, and not getting all that stuff with Trump. It's like they're like actively, but that's what they do. We talked about that a ton too. It's like, they just take turns adding more demographics of Americans to the list of people that they actively antagonize just in service of their one very narrowly defined base that they have. And it just seems crazy. I don't understand why they don't understand that that's not a good long-term strategy generally.
Yeah. Like, it was Muslims for 20 years. Now it's not just Muslims. It's gays, transgenders, FBI agents, the military.
Yes.
The courts. It's like the America's enemy list can never get shorter, apparently. So yeah, we're running way behind. You want to skip the rest of this last small dumbasses and just get into the Kevin McCarthy stuff because it's
yes, but I just want to say very quickly that apparently, just summarizing one of them. So Trump called Nikki Haley a bird brain, and then the next day she woke up and outside of her hotel room, the Trump campaign had put a bird cage outside of it. So. I just thought that was funny with a note that says from Trump campaign on it.
Yeah.
So I had you ever said about you. Yeah.
It's
okay. It's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All the way down. Let's talk about one of the senior clowns who's still in government, sort of, even though he lost his main gig. Kevin McCarthy, play this video, Matt.
The yeas are 216. The nays are 210. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table. The office of Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant.
All right. So what we predicted was going to happen, I thought it would happen way sooner, honestly, back when Kevin McCarthy made his deal to become speaker, which allowed one person to make a motion to vacate.
Right.
So Matt Gaetz made the motion, which we always figured was going to happen. We even talked about it a couple weeks ago, how he was preparing to do it. He did it. 8 Republican votes combined with every Democratic vote ousted fucking Kevin McCarthy. We'll get to the reasons why in a minute. In case you're wondering, so the final vote was 216-210. 8 Republicans that joined the Democrats are Kevin Buck, Andy Biggs, Tim Burchett, your boy from Tennessee, somebody named Crame, I don't know, Matt Gaetz, somebody named Good, Nancy Mace, and somebody named Rosendale. Ken Buck is an interesting player here because he is a he's been one of the lunatic members of Freedom Caucus for a long time. It's sort of emerged as a sane elder statesman in this context. Here he is over the weekend talking about why there's so much dysfunction in the House. He laid the source at McCarthy's feet a few months ago.
I think that the weaponization of government committee, the impeachment of the president are all distractions that will make sure that the base is excited, make sure the base is donating money, make sure that people don't focus on the dysfunction that we have with a speaker who promises something different to a lot of different groups and can't deliver.
Right. So that's the same case for impeaching McCarthy, is he's a lying sack of shit and no one can take him at his word. Nobody ever knows what's going on. All right. So when Buck cast his vote, he said he was a yes for now to oust McCarthy because the assumption was that McCarthy was going to just try to run for it to get his job back and maybe have to make some more concessions, either to Democrats or the House crazies or somebody else. Boebert said she was a no for now. But anyway, McCarthy took it off the table because he just announced right before we went on that he's not going to run for the speaker's office again. He quoted Lou Gehrig, "I am the luckiest man alive, luckiest man in the world" speech, which is like Lou Gehrig was coming into the acceptance stage of grief about his own life because he was dying of a disease so rare it was named after himself.
Exactly.
Kevin McCarthy was bad at his job and got fired from it.
Right. Because also the context of Lou Gehrig saying, like you said, he got a truly horrific disease that is so rare it's named for him. So and so what made that quote so special was him like recognizing how blessed he had been otherwise, right? He's standing in front of all the fans and stuff and he's like, you know, I know how it looks, but you know what, I've had a fucking great run and I couldn't have asked for any more and I'm a truly lucky man. It's like, I don't feel like that applies to to Kevin McCarthy in this case. It's you know, also, first of all, you're not dying horrifically, but also your legacy is not quite Lou Gehrig's, buddy. I've also seen people like trying to just random people on Twitter, but like trying to like spin this against the Democrats somehow. It's like, oh, they're like working with, you know, the lunatic caucus on this or whatnot. Like, it's like the Democrats' responsibility to not allow the Republicans to tear themselves apart. Like, why wouldn't they do that? Of course, that's what they should do. You know, like it's not their fault that the Republicans can't keep their house in order, keep their shit together, you know?
Okay, there's 435 people in Congress. None of them, including Kevin McCarthy, trust Kevin McCarthy. You have three basic voting blocks. You got Democrats who don't trust Kevin McCarthy to stick to deals he made. You got the eight crazies who voted to oust him, or seven crazies plus Ken Buck, who voted to oust him because they can't trust him, the commitments he made to them. Then you got the rest of the Republican caucus who doesn't trust him at all also, but just doesn't have a better idea. Right. Nobody wants Kevin McCarthy, except for Kevin McCarthy. So, like, anyway, the House adjourned. They're coming back next Tuesday. I guess they're doing a week cooling off period, and they'll come back and try to figure out how the fuck they're going to be a government institution. But so, Speaker of the House is third in line of the presidency, right? So if Air Force One flew into Air Force Two tonight, who do you think would be president if Biden and Kamala were dead?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. They got to have like an interim, right? Like an automatic interim or something?
Fourth in line of succession right before the Secretary of State is a president pro tem of the Senate, who is currently Patty Murray, the senator from Washington. So get ready for Commander-in-Chief Patty Murray, guys. So this came after a very long, stupid weekend, which is the final nail in Kevin McCarthy's coffin. We don't need to play this next video, Matt. So they did manage to fund the government over the weekend they passed a continuing resolution to fund the government for 45 more days. We have to do this all over again. Continuing resolution omits any funding for any more funding for Ukraine. It was extremely dumb. Republicans tried to rush a continuing resolution through before people could read it. So Democrats are trying to delay so they could read the actual bill. In the middle of all this, Jamal Bowman pulled a fire alarm that like everyone lost their mind about, even though there was nobody's story about pulling the fire alarm made any sort of sense. Like their idea that he did it to delay the vote doesn't make any sense because it was in a different building than the Capitol. No one could even hear it in the Capitol. You would not need to evacuate the Capitol for that. He says he was trying to take a shortcut through a door that's usually open. That's what set off the fire alarm. The signs were confusing. I don't know.
I don't know about that. I mean, I'd read like, oh, they only gave him 15 minutes to read it. So he was trying to, you know, delay it for that reason because this was bullshit or whatnot. I didn't know it was in a whole different building, though. But I mean, dude, we've all seen those fire alarms. We all know what those look like. Like, you know, like my 10-year-old knows better and he's known better since he was six than the fucking
pull of
those. They're big and red and say fire on them. Like,
Jamal Bowman used to be a high school principal. He's presumably suspended kids for pulling a fire alarm.
Yeah, I don't.
The whole thing is just so fucking dumb. Republican Congressman Troy Neals tweeted a picture of himself holding up handcuffs like he was going to arrest Jamal Bowman. He did used to be a cop, but he was fired as a cop in Texas for destruction of evidence in 1998.
Yeah.
So
makes sense. He is now in Congress. You know what I mean? It checks out.
Nobody's theory really makes any sense here. I saw a picture of the sign. It did look a little confusing. It said, if you push this button, the door will open in 30 seconds. I don't know. Everybody's full of shit here. It didn't matter because it didn't make any. He voted for the bill. He wasn't trying to delay passage of it. They got 400 votes. Anyway, after all this, Republicans were mad because they wanted to like more strict funding cuts. The 35 who didn't vote for it, during which there were rumors that Gates was going to introduce this motion to vacate. Over the weekend, Kevin McCarthy tweeted this. You got this image, Matt. It said, bring it on. Guess what, Kevin?
Right.
It has been brought on.
Yeah, they did, in fact, bring it on after that.
That famous news graphic of the 911 call. You stab me.
Stab me. Quote from man stabbed. Yes.
Yeah.
I love a good quote from man stabbed moment. And this one certainly qualifies. But like people, also I've seen a lot of people, a lot of like the, you know, lunatic contingent, like the caucus's base. They're thrilled about this dude. They're like, now we see now who's actually got balls in the party, and they're talking about eight people, you know, and then they're talking, we got to get rid of all these other 216. We got to get them out, you know, because we see who the real patriots are and that type of thing. And it's like, what did they do? What's going to happen? What big victory did they achieve by doing this? You know what I mean? They're just fucking holding the whole government hostage and fucking everything up for everybody. And people are loving it. Their people.
They have accomplished nothing but cucking Kevin McCarthy,
right,
which is truly funny. I'm here for it. But just as far as how humiliating this is, it's the first time in U.S. history a speaker has been removed through a motion to vacate. It's the shortest speakership since a guy named Michael C. Kerr, who served from December 1875 to August 1876 because he died of tuberculosis. Do you know how how hard you have to try to be the most embarrassing congressman in history named McCarthy?
McCarthy, right. Yeah,
this is like this shit.
It also was kind of funny that McCarthy, you know, was like the victim of something of a witch. Not really a witch hunt. He is a dipshit, but you know what I mean. Like they came for him or whatever.
Yeah, this shit. We don't need to play this video back because we're running a little bit behind. But shit's so dumb that Fox News was saying nice stuff about Nancy Pelosi because she was able to manage a bare majority, roughly the same size, without being humiliated or losing any votes. Kevin McCarthy's so bad at his job, he was sitting in the House watching the vote results along with us, not knowing whether he was going to win or lose it. Your whole job is to count fucking votes.
Yeah, right.
When they voted him out, one of the dipshits was like, "Now what?" I don't know, man. You're the plant. You're the one running the show.
Yeah. It's the dog catching the car, man. You know what I mean? That's what Matt Gaetz and them are right now. It's like, well, okay. Yeah. Now what are you going to do?
So some guy named Patrick McHenry, who's on the Financial Services Committee as a chairman, is now the Speaker pro tem. So he's totally in charge, sort of, although with no power, he can't really do anything. This is like the only thing I could remember in history that's close to this in my living memory. Let's travel back with me to the 90s, the middle of the Clinton impeachment saga. Newt Gingrich was discovered to have been cheating on his wife in the middle of an impeachment proceeding that was at least partly about Bill Clinton cheating on his wife.
Right.
So the next guy up was named Bob Livingston, who never assumed speakership because he suddenly announced that Hustler had dug up his mistresses and he would not just leave the speaker race, but quit entirely. And the guy that succeeded them was by the name of Dennis Hastert, who was found to be a serial child molester and spent 15 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
The most effective Republican speaker in my lifetime was the one who was a serial child molester.
Yeah.
Might be something wrong with this party, bud.
I know.
If people don't follow, like, let's walk through why nobody likes him or trusts him. So here's the sequence of events in a nutshell. So back in January, he made an agreement with hardline conservatives, some of which the terms of the deal that have never been made public. So we don't even know what they were, but that's what he gave them a bunch of stuff to get their support as speaker. Then in May, McCarthy made a public agreement with Democrats to set their federal budget at a certain level in order to avert a default in the national debt. In September, though, under pressure from the conservative hardliners, McCarthy attempted to get further spending cuts that he promised to get Democrats not to go for. That's what led up to the government shutdown. Then he ultimately conceded to Democrats and helped pass a funding bill that largely did not include any of the cuts the hardliners wanted. And those are the same cuts that McCarthy had originally made, told Democrats he wouldn't seek. So he'd lied to everybody every step of the way, depending on what the day he needed to get through the day. And that's why nobody was going to vote to save his fucking ass. All right. So the person
I do kind of think, though, do you think like, I mean, again, dude, I've got my, you know, major schadenfreude over this, fuck Kevin McCarthy and all that. But as far as this, you know, the crazy caucus goes, the ones that are kind of holding him hostage and the whole party hostage, I mean, he gave them that thing where it's like it only takes one vote to, you know, to bring up the motion to vacate or whatever. So he was always like at their beck and call, which sucks. But like, I don't know how you do handle those people. That's their whole thing, is that they're, you know, they're like unreasonable. So like they're going to have their hardliner demands that are just not, you know, realistic, but they're not going to back off of them either. So, I mean, this is what they deserve. This is what they've built. You know what I mean? Over the past few years, they've like let these wolves into the hen house or fox, however the fuck the thing goes. And now they have to, you know, reckon with it. And I don't know how they're going to actually do that. Or whoever takes over next, you know.
Well, going back to Ken Buck's critique of him, he's essentially saying McCarthy is so spineless and weak that he could not manage these people. Now, like, I don't know how you do it, but that's the fucking job, and McCarthy asked for it.
Yes.
Right? So, like, in normal times, what you do is somebody like Gaetz is acting up and you need his votes to pass a bill, you go to him and say, hey, Matt, I'll give you a better committee next Congress if you go along with this, but if you don't, you're going to get a well-funded primary challenger and no campaign funding from the NRCC, right? And then he'd be like, okay, I'll fall in line. Or like you just go tell him, like, we need this. I'll get you next time. The problem is you couldn't promise anything because they didn't trust him. Plus, he already gave Gaetz all the cool committee chairmanships just to get speakers.
Just to get in there, yeah, right.
So he had nothing left to give him. And he wasn't willing to give. He could have probably saved his speakership if he'd given Democrats stuff and gotten their votes to stay on. But he didn't want to give because he thought that he correctly understood that would be seen by Fox News as being a traitor for giving up whatever he gave Democrats to save himself. And that's why his big speech to the Congressional Caucus, he was saying that's why he's a big hero, because he did negotiate with Democrats. All right. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Matt Gaetz is the real driving force, as we talked about here. Like, Gaetz beef with him largely is personal because Kevin McCarthy didn't defend him enough when he was accused of being a sex criminal. So, but like, this is how weak of a speaker McCarthy was. He was deposed by like a Nepo baby with a balloon head and a fake ID machine for underage girls. There's nothing he could do to stop it. But everyone's really mad at Matt Gaetz over this because this is a total self-inflicted wound led by one asshole. John Cornyn called efforts to oust McCarthy disgraceful and compared him to terrorist attacks. This congressman from New York named Anthony Desposito, leaving McCarthy's ass last night, said, the meeting went well, and the consensus is that Matt Gaetz is an asshole. And here's a video Chip Roy posted this evening, essentially challenging Matt Gaetz to a fight.
Yeah, parking lot, 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Come at me and call me a rhino, you can kiss my ass. Look, I've spent a lifetime fighting for limited government conservatism. I have laid it all on the line. I have not seen my family but for 2 days in the last 30 days. You go around talking your big game and you thumping your chest on Twitter. Yeah, come to my office and come have a debate, mother. You know why? Because I'm standing up for this country every single day.
He said motherfucker but bleeped in his own video for reasons I can't really understand. So as far as what happens next, I don't know if anyone knows. Like, I thought McCarthy would just get his job back, and it's probably the most likely outcome because I don't know who's left, who wants it, and both could get the votes. I'm guessing Steve Scalise. But, like, he could have just either given some token, like, concessions to Democrats, like a few more committee members or something, or just sit through 25 rounds of voting until someone murders Matt Gaetz. Both of those are better plans than whatever it is he was going to do. Like, part of the reason... The galaxy brain centrists are blaming Democrats for this because the majority of votes did come from Democrats, but you don't have to, like, they don't want Kevin McCarthy to be speaker. You can just vote your conscience here. Like,
Nothing's
in your control. And any of those Republicans could choose to caucus with Democrats,
right?
Make Hakeem Jeffries the speaker, and everything would be roughly normal. You can still vote the way you want to on bills. Hakeem Jeffries would have to give you, concessions to get on what bills come to the floor. Because if you don't vote for them, Democratic votes don't have to pass them.
That's what kills me about this whole thing. Is like, I know this is not the way it works in America, especially right now. But like, I watch all this and I'm like, you'd think, again, some of these more moderate Republicans that still somehow exist, the rhinos, as Gates and them would call them, that are in the Congress, like, would have an opportunity. And I know that, like, Hakeem Jeffries, like, today or yesterday, like, he, like, called for this from them. But, like, they have an opportunity to, like you said, like, actually work with the Democrats just a little bit just to make some shit happen after everybody has seen what it looks like, what this looks like, and how embarrassing and humiliating it all should be, and how, like, circus-like it all is. And then to then turn around and actually accomplish some shit for a while and return some semblance of sanity to the House of Representatives, I would think would be like a good move. But I know that they're like, well, we can't do that. We can't. It's like, except McCarthy's like claiming himself to be a hero because he did not work with Democrats. It's like, that's a death sentence. What, reaching across the aisle is a fucking death sentence now. And that's a real bummer.
I thought for a little bit when they're kicking around this power sharing idea, which I'll explain in a minute, but like, I thought we were going to get like my dream of a parliamentarian system for a second. It's like, are we going to have like five parties and a coalition government? Fuck yeah, yeah. Let's do this. So, because we were kicking around the idea of like a like Democrats vote for McCarthy and in exchange get a few committee chairmanships or maybe a few more members on committees or something. So, like, essentially, that McHenry guy, who's now the Speaker pro tem in the House, like, blame Democrats for voting to oust McCarthy instead of, like, trying to get one of those deals. You have a Republican saying, just vote to save McCarthy. But he said, I understand where the liberals are. I know you support the constitutional order, except in a moment like this. You can't be counted on in a moment like this. Bro, it's the members of your own party you're mad at.
Right, exactly. Like, why would they do that? Like you said, they're not like, offering them anything. They're not giving them a reason to do that other than just, like, oh, really, you're going to let them pull this off? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't even know what the rationale is supposed to be. They're just, like, getting pissy because Democrats are not saving their ass.
Yeah.
But to what end? Why would they? What reason do they have for doing it? There isn't one. So
it's not the Democrats' job to solve an internal GOP drama to save the ass of a speaker they can't trust and no one
exactly.
likes.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Plus, McCarthy's done stuff like keep Adam Schiff, Eric Swalwell, and Ilhan Omar off committees for completely bullshit partisan reasons. So that's the sort of thing that people remember. Why are they going to save your ass personally when, like, it doesn't materially change anything? The House still won't pass any sensible bills.
I mean, I know it's what you said all this earlier, but it's like the people in his own party get pissed at him because he's like, oh, you're working with the Democrats too much. But he doesn't keep his word to the Democrats either. So he just, like, he pisses everybody off. And this is what happens, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
the other things people were floating around the Democrats could ask for is like a commitment that the National Republican Campaign Committee wouldn't spend in some vulnerable districts in 2024, which I don't know why you trust McCarthy's word on that.
Yeah, right.
They suggested some policy concessions like a reinstated child tax credit, which the whole point of this fight was Republicans wanted 30% funding cuts across the board for every domestic spending program. They're not going to, like, give you a child tax credit in exchange for Kevin McCarthy to stay speaker. That's the thing they're mad at Kevin McCarthy for giving up in the first place. He didn't even give it to him. But, like, one of the things they're floating around for people to Democrats to ask for in exchange for Kevin McCarthy in the role of speaker is an end to the Biden impeachment hearings. The impeachment inquiry has been a huge disaster for Republicans before.
For them.
Let them keep doing it.
They're making themselves look bad with it. Like, and it's clearly not going to actually go anywhere. So what kind of offer is that? Like, it's not like it's really making Biden look bad. The only people it's making look bad is them. So why would the Democrats do shit about that?
They had their first day of hearings, and their first main witness, their constitutional legal experts. Yeah. Oh, I don't see proof here for anything.
Yeah.
They got caught fabricating text messages. Steve Bannon saw poorly at Wynn and called them feckless losers for doing it this way. And one of the Democrats challenged one of the witnesses, the same constitutional scholar, and asked him, have you ever advocated for polygamy being legal on religious grounds? And did you ever defend one polygamist who'd raped a 13-year-old girl? And you had to say, yeah. So, like, this has all, like, been horrific. I don't understand, like, Democrats played no role in here except doing what they were supposed to do, which when your opponents are doing an own goal, fucking let them. Like, we're coming up on a very important election in Virginia. We're leading into an election year. Anything that makes Republicans look correctly asinine, that breaks through the media noise, people can see how crazy these people are, is good, because it's hard to get that through. So I'm happy Democrats get to politics for once. So, yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Matt, just some questions and comments up there. You had something a minute ago. I don't know if that was a misclick or what, because I didn't have time to read it. But yeah. Hey, okay. Mandy Groler says it would be absolutely hilarious if Hakeem Jeffries is somehow elected speaker.
in a sane government, like there's like, I don't know, 15, 20 Republicans who are in districts that Biden won. It would make absolute sense for them to, like, you don't have to change parties. You can go independent and caucus with the Democrats to have a sane speaker if they can pass stuff in regular order. And again, like I said earlier, you don't have to vote for very liberal bills you're uncomfortable with. You can vote your conscience. You just have sane people in charge. That's what would happen in like a parliamentary system like, you know, the UK or something, or Canada or France. And like, it's like things don't have to be this nonsense.
Well, these people feel so beholden to the lunacy of the MAGA, you know, contingent and whatnot. Maybe those are in districts like that. They're in like just general, like moderate suburban districts or wherever they are, you know, maybe consider switching to independent or something if they've done generally okay. You know what I mean? Because I don't know. It feels like that. Because then you don't have to worry about being like, fuck those dipshits. I'm not going to worry about that. But I don't know. DJBT says hating McCarthy is the most bipartisan issue of our time.
Yeah. I did want to mention this story. So good.
Obsessed for Disneyland. Oh, you must know my wife says you have four consecutive failed Republican speakers, McCarthy, Ryan, Boehner, and Gingrich. Oh, for four.
Two things are true, but it seems like wrangling these bunch of idiot cats seems like an impossible job. But also that Kevin McCarthy was terrible at it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do want to, cause like, he feels like, a character from like Fargo, like William H. Macy's character. He just tells, he just lies to the person in front of him to get to the next moment with no plan for how to solve the problem in total. And like, all you have to do, if you're honest with people and being like, I understand you want to pass this bill. We do not have the votes as opposed to being like, oh, sure. We'll get to it. It's like, just fucking, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's what he's been trying to do the whole time, you know, like you said, just like get to the next moment, just saying and doing whatever it takes just to get past this point. And it became untenable, you know, pretty quickly. Margaret Grigsby says, is Mark's hat San Antonio sod poodles?
I just saw the hat and a hat website I visit sometimes and like I believe it's a minor league baseball team in Clearwater, Florida. But that's obviously a shout out to the surfing, the cool skateboarding dog from The Simpsons. That's probably why I got into it.
I found the Amarillo sod poodles. Yeah, let's see here. Melissa Bean Felder says, can we nominate the Republican gentleman from New York you showed last week saying all the folks are insane?
I think eventually, like these, you have to get together with donors and being like, this is unmanageable. We can't pass your evil tax cuts. We can't defund children's lunches because these people are too unruly. So can you stop, help us defeat them, Koch brothers and so forth? That, like, I'm not sure if that's in total a battle system, but I do know it's less chaotic and will be less likely everything fucking collapses.
Yeah, Margaret Gregory says, oh, yeah, Amarillo, my bad. Yeah, that's a side poodles. It looks like a different thing that Mark's got going on there. But, yeah, we've talked before about how, like, you would think that some of those puppet master types, the big business, small government types, who just want their taxes to be as low as possible and all that shit, like, that they could not be super on board with all this fucking abject lunacy that's going on with like their chosen party. You know what I mean? It's like, no, we want everything to keep running because we want to keep making money. We're not trying to fucking tear everything apart, but I don't know. I don't know where they're at on it. Nigel Lynette says, please don't refer to Canada's government at the moment as sane, even though it's a coalition. It's still seen by some as an autocracy.
Yeah, you're right. I just meant like in general, I think parliamentary systems are a little more effective, even if a little bit more chaotic. I mean, someone made the point that like this is kind of what democracy looks like. It's supposed to look a little messy like this, and maybe we're a little too early. But like, I this is just funny.
Ex-Vangela Carroll says Republicans are the party that says government doesn't work, then they get elected and prove it. Yeah,
that's what I was saying.
Yeah. It's like on the Ron Swanson's character on Parks and Rec was this hardcore libertarian, but he worked for the government, the local government. But his whole thing was like, that's why I just don't do my job. Like, that's why, you know what I mean? Like, I just, that's the whole point. But like these people, this is real life, and they seem to have the same general attitude towards it.
I mean, that's why, like, we're talking about Bob Menendez last week. I was like trying to make the point that like it's much worse when Democrats do corruption like this because it like helps Republican cause in two ways, you know, and it decreases faith in government and increases the likelihood they pick up your seat.
Yep. Clayton Adami says like and subscribe. Thank you for that, Clayton. Forget every single week. Smash that like button, guys. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel. Holler at the Patreon, all that good stuff. Lisa Martin Bradley says, Trump sounds like one of those guys on the corner shouting, the end is coming. He does seem to be getting, well, I don't know if I want to say more unhinged, because he's always been pretty unhinged. I know we're cherry picking. This dude spends no telling how many hours just up there rambling, and we get some, you know, choice quotes from it. But some of the shit he's talking about lately is like, bro, what?
And he dials it down for his public appearances. Like when he puts stuff in writing, like no one's on True Social, so no one sees it. But like he's full on like Joe Biden is a pedophile, eats baby brains level QAnon shit now. Like it's not even like Trump, if you put him in a lot of territory, he might believe that he is president and he has sent Joe Biden to Gitmo and Joe Biden has been replaced with a clone. I don't know.
I know we skipped it earlier, but there was a thing in the rundown that we didn't have time for about RFK Jr. maybe running as an independent or whatever. Mm-hmm. Karen Stevens says the GOP is going to self-immolate to the point that those who left will have to form another party. Maybe they can revive the Whigs. You fan of the Whigs, Mark? How about the Know-Nothings? Remember the Know-Nothings?
Well, Trump has essentially picked up the Know-Nothing. I mean, like, I don't mean that as a joke as far as he knows nothing. Oh, that's true. But, like, there were, like, you know, we hate immigrants. America's full mm-hmm. party before Trump. So that's sort of, he sort of is the Know Nothing party.
But anyway, the RFK Jr. is an independent thing. I see that and I'm like, oh, fuck, that ain't good. But like, evidently, they've done some polling that seems to indicate that it's at worst a toss up over who that would actually hurt more, Biden or Trump, if he actually did do that.
Yeah, it hurt Trump. Like the polling seems to show it hurts Trump worse, which makes sense because, like, if you're a single issue anti vax voter, Biden's the worse than Trump, but Trump also created the vaccine and has said nice stuff about vaccines because he wants credit for, you know, Operation Warp Speed. So it makes sense to me that he would take more votes away from Trump. Plus, like, I wanted to talk about the reason I brought up the John Kelly and Joe Biden speech earlier is like one of the reasons I'm not super nervous about polling the shows, like so-called polls show Trump up a little bit or whatever, is the campaign hasn't started and people haven't been paying attention to Trump. Once Trump gets out speaking in public, saying the shit about sharks being eaten by sharks and shit, he's found guilty. He's complaining about judges. The Democrats are cutting campaign ads with his former chief of staff, who's a decorated Marine general, saying he's a threat to the Republic. Like, shit's going to look differently in a year, you know, assuming everything else holds, like Biden's still alive and shit. And you know, it hasn't come out that Joe made a sex tape with Hunter and the prostitutes or something. So, yeah,
well, from your lips to the fake Lord's ears, buddy. I mean, I agree with you. Don't mean to imply otherwise, but yeah. All right. Well, listen, y'all want to, before we get out of here, say once again, a couple of things. First of all, thanks for being here. Listen, if you want to see me out on the road, and you should, it's a lot of fun. Go to TreyCrowder.com. Check out all my upcoming dates. Also at TreyCrowder.com, you can find a link to me and Corey's new book, Round Here and Over Yonder. It's a funny hillbilly travel guide. If you would like, oh, I forgot to say this earlier. If you watch this show only, but if you have podcast apps at all, if you go on your podcast app and subscribe to the show, the audio version, even if you don't listen to it, keep watching, but subscribe to it. It could potentially help us, and it costs you nothing. It's a click of the button. And then lastly, if you want to support the show, you can go to Patreon and look me up, or go to weeklyskews.com/more. $5 a month, full-length bonus episodes. It's a lot of fun. Get some more skews in your life. But the main thing is keep coming back here every Skews Day watching the main show. You keep doing it. We'll keep showing up. So we'll see you next time. Love you. Bye.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year, and we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS.
Did you know that over 80% of companies in America, each generating more than $100 million in revenue, don't show up on public stock exchanges? They're private and are largely not an option for 401k investors. But now there's a chance for everyday American savers to opt in for access through the 401k plan if they choose to. Regardless of how you're building for the future, you deserve the same opportunities because you've earned the right to more. Learn more by visiting retiresafer.org. Paid for by the Council for a Safe and Secure Retirement.